You know, I'm amazed because every year I make a speaking list and I give assignments out if someone's giving sermonette or split sermon or sermon. But each person picks their own topic. And after they pick their topic, I don't really check up on what they're doing, or I don't see the message beforehand until they give it. And it's really amazing how every year the messages come together, right? They're all seem to be a theme. And Elder Bernard here, speaking on Sukkot and the meaning of Sukkot and talking about Ecclesiastes, because my message today is called Vanity of Vanities. And as he said, the book of Ecclesiastes is read at feast time. We talked about that. I'm not going to get too much into it. Why is that at feast time? I mentioned before, because it's really showing us, it's picturing the millennium and showing us how this world and this life is pretty much vanity. But I want to start in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 1. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Right? So it's a good way to start. He lets you know what his book is going to be about. And that's pretty much the whole book backing that up. We'll read a little bit more of it later. But really, it really shows us in life that all is vanity and the pride of man. And I think only with the Spirit of Yahweh are we able to stand back and really see that sometimes. You know, and as the world goes on more, I think we're seeing that more and more. The human race are vain. They're prideful beings who love themselves more than everything else, and they love anything connected to themselves. So that's why even if people have evil relatives or evil children, they will love them, but they're not really loving the child. They're loving themselves because that child's an extension of themselves. And it's interesting. In the world, you know, I'm a pretty perceptive person. I've seen it even in my own personal family at times, not my family here, but my extended family, that you'll see like a parent correcting a child. I've had this with aunts and uncles. Like they'll correct the child, even maybe use some words that we wouldn't use. But then if another uncle or aunt said the same thing, then they would defend the child, right? Because that's the way it is. And really, we don't realize how prideful we really are. You know, and the sermonette that Brother Wilco gave really hit on that and some other things we talked about. But, you know, as a believer, particularly as we're marching toward the kingdom of Yahweh, it's something that every one of us, to one degree or another, have to deal with. And I know, coming up in the congregation, when I would hear a sermon, even if it's a sermon that had nothing to do with me, maybe it's a sermon on childbirth, you know, that's nothing that's going to hit me. I would look at every sermon and see, what can I get out of this, though? Maybe there's a lesson here. And even if it was something that didn't deal with me, it wasn't a problem of mine, I'd say, okay, well, maybe I don't have this problem, and maybe I have a 1%. So I would never discount ever a sermon, ever. But when we're coming to something like this in the Laodicean era, I think every one of us really has to go in our prayer closets and look in our heart and see what kind of pride is there, particularly in a world of social media and all these other things that are being indoctrinated into our minds. And that's why I think the message today is really, really important. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, because the Apostle Paul actually, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talked about the kind of time we're going to be living in today, right? But know this, that in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of Elohim. And at least before, I know when I came into the faith about 35 years ago, the difference between maybe someone like myself who was a Sabbath keeper compared to someone who was a Christian, we would be arguing over what day is the Sabbath day. Is it the seventh day or is it the first day? We'd be arguing over maybe do we celebrate Christmas or do we celebrate the feast? But today, even in the Christian in the evangelical world, they never, ever, ever talk about sin, pride, or any of these things anymore. It's like we've hit a world where it's a taboo to even discuss the human nature that Yahweh needs us to overcome, because you're not going to enter the kingdom of Yahweh with that human nature. So throughout history, and I say to myself, it's interesting. I used to read the scripture through the years. You know, the Apostle Paul, what he's writing here in 2 Timothy 3. And, you know, there's 14, 16 adjectives. And after about the second verse, I'd be like, okay, enough. How many things do you have to say? Now, in the day we're living in, I'm thinking he should have been adding about another 6 or 7 adjectives there. You know, we could add more as we're living in these times. And I know 35 years ago, not in a million years, would I have ever thought that the world can be as evil as it is today. And it really is a bad place. So throughout history, it's fluctuated. I don't think you could say that it is progressively since the Garden of Eden got to this way, because face it, when Noah built the ark, that wasn't too far from creation, relative wise, right? And yet the people there were probably about as bad as it is today. We know it's Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet go back maybe 100, 150 years ago in the 1800s, and society really wasn't so immoral back then. So it has fluctuated. I don't think you could say it's on a scale that's gone one way or another. But you cannot look at the society around you and think that it's normal. And that's the problem, the normalcy bias that comes in here. Society today might be many things, but one thing it is not is normal. To Yahweh, agape love is normal. I gave a message just about a month ago, love your neighbor as yourself. To a believer with the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't even have to try. That should be as natural as waking up in the morning and brushing your teeth or eating your breakfast. It should just be natural to love your neighbors yourself with the Spirit of Yahweh, because Yahweh is love. That's what He is. And yet in the world today, agape love is not normal. Love is not normal. And if there is love, it's based on contingency. What you do for me, I'll love you. If you don't, then I won't. And that's why divorce rate is almost 60%. Because it's all based on contingency. To love your neighbor as yourself is normal with Yahweh. One man and one woman in marriage till death do you part is normal to Yahweh. But to the world, abortion is normal. Can you imagine? Who would have ever thought we're living in a time worldwide where millions of babies, unborn, beautiful babies that haven't been born yet, are being murdered and killed on a worldwide level? Who would have ever thought it? You couldn't imagine. No, the world would never be that insane, right? We look at Hitler, and Hitler's an evil person, and yet every walk of society today will kill the unborn child, and nobody talks about it. And if you do talk about it, you're looked at as you're some kind of evil person against women. We just had an appointment, let's say, of a Supreme Court justice in the United States. And good, bitter, and different. I don't know the man. But they tried to destroy this man's life over one thing, abortion. That was the key. They were thinking if you get another conservative on that court, they could overturn abortion. Can you imagine that they would lie? They would destroy a person's life? They would go to any evil, wicked thing to make sure we can continue to kill babies. Period. And that's normal in the world today. Homosexuality is normal. Just here in Jerusalem, believe it or not, I saw it twice. Men, you know, holding hands, and clearly homosexuals, it's normal. And to say something different, forget about it. You know, forget about it. You know, you're ostracized, you're looked at as racist, you know, all these things that come up. That's normal in the world today. Evolution, can you imagine? Can you imagine how idiotic the world is with all of the education we have today, with all of the technology we have today, that people could be so idiotic to think that all of this came here from nothing? It's normal, absolutely normal. TV, Hollywood, social media, self-focus, 5 million selfies a day. And you keep hearing more and more stories of people falling off cliffs and everything else. But it's all normal. And as the world is getting more normal that way, wow, we really have to start looking and seeing. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know? And I really think it's the time that we have to, as a people, start looking into our lives and saying, you know, is it really time? And, again, Yeshua said we are to be in the world but not of the world. So I'm not saying go to the top of the rooftops, but I'm telling you, we need to come out of society. The Waldenses, 1,000 years they were out in the wilderness, they still came back, they still witnessed, they still helped. But if you stay in society, and you work in society, and your friends are in society, and you're living in society, you're not going to make it. I've seen it. The Great Falling Away has been going on for years now, but it is magnifying. And I can tell you firsthand, you will not make it. You will not make it. You have to start sanctifying your life because you have to realize the vanity of this life and making that commitment to Yahweh. I want to go in, though, on one scripture, and I really want to take it from there into three aspects. Now, I want to go to Genesis 3, 4 through 6. Because we have to start looking at this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And if that was the case 2,000 years ago, boy, is that the case today. We have to realize it is a battle for your soul. Remember when the Yeshua was having the last Passover with his disciples, and what did he say to Peter? Satan has has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed to the Father for you. And he has every one of us marked. And if you allow him, if you allow him to do it, he is going to play on you. Genesis 3 in verse 3, it says, "But the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Okay? Most of the time when people are talking about this, they talk about the eating of the fruit, right? And it is symbolic. We don't know what the fruit could be, or even if it's just symbolic of something else. But we talk about it. But very rarely do we talk about it. It wasn't just eating the fruit. It was even touching it. And how much of the evilness of society do we want to think, well, we're only touching, we're not eating, you know? Well, I have Facebook, but it's only for my children that I don't get to see. I have a smartphone, but I only use it for this. I'm on the internet, but I only, you know, how many things in society that are absolutely wicked and evil are we literally thinking, well, I'm not eating, I'm only touching. And here Yahweh says, don't eat, don't touch, period. Don't eat, don't touch. And the serpent says to the woman, for Yahweh said, if you eat it, nor you touch it, you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die. So again, that's what Satan comes in. No, what's it hurt? You know, there's no big deal to it. You're only doing it for this. You're only doing it for that. I need it for my job. I have to do it for this. There's always an excuse that our human nature will tell us that it's okay. But that's why I say when I look at the Amish, and I'm not saying everything with the Amish is perfect, but I'm saying, wow, 400 years later, they are still sitting there, riding their horse and buggy without electricity and living the same lifestyle they did, a sanctified lifestyle 400 years ago. Again, not that I'm agreeing with all of it. I don't necessarily think electricity is wrong. But their conviction has kept them pure and sanctified because they haven't rationalized of it. They realize if you touch it, you're probably going to eat it. So it's better not to even do it whatsoever. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And this is really where I want to go now with this message. Lust for food, lust to eyes, and lust for knowledge. These are the three vanities of vanities that is taking down the society today. And all of it is normal in the world we live in, but it's certainly not normal to Yahweh. So let's start. Lust for food, lust to eyes, lust for knowledge. 2,000 years later, or really 6,000 years later, Satan is using the same tactics. The same tactics he used against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he's using to us today. He doesn't really change. He does the same thing because we're the same humans and creatures of habit, and we make the same mistakes. I always joke, we used to have this cat. And it was a nice, big, fluffy cat with a big, fluffy tail. And my mother used to say, he doesn't know he's a cat because he did these odd things. You know, we never let the cat out of the house. And every time the door would open, the cat would run out of the house and he'd go under the porch. And every time we'd come with a rope and swing the rope and he'd come to get the rope and we'd take him inside. And you would think after that happened 10 times, he'd realize, hey, when they swing that rope, I'm not coming because they're going to take me back to the house. But it's the same thing because they're creatures of habit. They're creatures of habit. The same way we are creatures of habit. And Satan knows that. And that's why, like I said, we got to realize he's smarter than us. He's been there longer than us. He has more power than us. And we don't want to play with him. we want to stay far away from. And that's why I say, if there's anything in your life that belongs to him, you better believe he's coming for it. You got pride? You know, you got covetousness spirit? You got a lustful spirit? It belongs to him. And he's going to come, and he has every right and authority to take it. But when you get rid of those things, you sanctify your life, and he has no authority in your life. And that's where you can say, get thee behind me, Satan. You got nothing to do in this place. Goodbye. And he's got to leave. But if you allow him in your life, he's coming. He's going to come. So, number one, lust for food. Like they say, you are what you eat, right? Many sicknesses today come from diet. The average American takes in more than 100 pounds of sugar a year. In 1900, about 100 years ago, it was 4 pounds of sugar. So again, not to say there's no 11th commandment, thou shalt not eat sugar. But overall, if you eat it in abundance, it's really not good for you. It's not good for you. We know what happens. Diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, hyperactivity in children, tooth decay, depression, rebellion, anxiety disorders, addiction. It all comes. And what does it come from? You know, all things are lawful to me, but not all things profit. All things are lawful, but I will not be controlled by any. So that's why I say, you know, if every now and then you have a piece of cake, you do something, nothing wrong with it. But if you cannot control your spirit and it's a lustful spirit and you're overindulging in these things, it will affect you. And like I said, you are what you eat. Your diet will affect your mental state. It will affect your energy level. It will affect your health. And it's going to affect your relationship with Yahweh. Because if you are not in a good mental capacity, you will not be in a good spiritual capacity. You know, it's that simple. The food you eat will affect your mental outlook, your lack of energy, no will, no zeal for doing the work of Yahweh. So you must eat to live, not live to eat. Right? We don't want to make Elohim out of it. We don't want to make it a religion like the Seventh-day Adventists, right? But we want to think about it. We want to think about it because 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not of yourself? You were bought with a price. Then glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Yahweh, right? You were bought with a price. So again, a lot of people like to say the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Yeshua. You know, the Christians will tell me, I'm under grace. I don't have to keep that law. But they don't read the scripture. You're bought with a price because the Torah says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And Yeshua gave his life on that tree of crucifixion. He who was without sin became sin so we could be the righteousness of the Father. Not so you can go around doing whatever you want to do. It was eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. He died so you can live. Just like the two goats on the Day of Atonement. One was sacrificed, one came alive. And now, what are we commanded? Romans 12, we are commanded to be living sacrifices. Our life must glorify him. But did you hear what he said? Your body, your physical body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Just think on that for a minute. Wow. If that doesn't blow you away, nothing will. Your body. Remember, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where not only priests, but only the high priest, once a year went back there, and Yahweh dwelt there, his presence dwelt there, the Shekinah glory. And he says, your body is the sanctuary of that. Your body is the Holy of Holies. Your body is where Yahweh is dwelling in the new covenant. And lust for food, lust for eyes, lust for knowledge, right? Are we taking that serious? Are we trying to be the best we can? Or are we just not caring? Are we putting every kind of garbage into our body? The ultra-Orthodox, they smoke cigarettes. They see nothing wrong with it, you know? It makes no sense to me. You know, how could somebody with the Holy Spirit be smoking cigarettes and fill them up? I've had people come to me that had cancer, and they asked for anointing. And I said, well, if I anoint you and you're healed, will you smoke again? And they said, yes. I said, I'm sorry, I can't anoint you then. How could I anoint you and Yahweh does a miracle and heals you, and you're going to go right back to the same thing that destroyed you before that? So again, it's not to make an Elohim out of it, but he literally says, our body is the sanctuary, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we really should be thinking what we're putting in our body. Even a Christian should think of that. Why would a Christian eat something vile like pork? You know, if your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Yahweh dwells in you like the Holy of Holies. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And verse 37. And Yeshua said to him, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that's the point of it. Yahweh created these bodies. We're not here because of evolution. We're here because Yahweh had a design. And he designed our fingers to be able to hold. And he designed our ears with earlobes that keeps us in balance. And he designed our eyes to see the beautiful colors. He designed us from scratch. And do we want to take these bodies that he designed to dwell within, and do we want to pollute it? Do we want to pollute it? It's not just food. You know, do we want to pollute it with things on the internet? Do you want to pollute it with evil music? Do you want to pollute it with pornography? Do you want to pollute it with evil thoughts? Whatever it is, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Because you're not going to get from Satan's society anything that sanctifies Yahweh. It's that simple. This society is done. All we're doing now is Yahweh's waiting for us to complete ourselves. And when we're complete, he's coming back. That's it. There's not a lot of work to do in this society anymore. And that's what he's looking at. We must love Yahweh above everything. We have to die to the flesh daily. And we have to fight human lust and human addiction. And I'm telling you, many people don't even realize they're addicted. And like I said, all things are lawful, but not all things profit. All things are lawful. I will not be controlled by any. And what I would tell people, which we did in our life, it doesn't matter if it's coffee, if it's tea, they're not bad things. But if you're addicted to it, it's an idol. And we tried it. I drank coffee my whole life. So I didn't know if it's an idol or not. So I said, let me stop drinking it for 3 months. No big deal. Forgot about it. You know, now I go back to it. I drink a cup of coffee in the morning or a cup in the afternoon. It's not a big deal. But if that thing was controlling me, if I had to be like, I can't move without my coffee or my tea, got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of it. You're not going to go in the kingdom of Yahweh with an idol. Whatever, there's something that's controlling your flesh. Because you want to know something? It's really interesting. We live to preserve this flesh, right? And it's really, when you think about it, it's kind of odd. Because we know from the day you live, you have so many days, and your flesh is dying daily. Your skin is dying daily, right? And yet when you become a believer, you know that this is a temporary dwelling that I have. And really, you realize that as a human being, we're all handicapped. It's a handicap to be in flesh and blood. Because the kingdom of Yahweh is not flesh and blood, but spirit. So we should be looking forward to the day that we shed these bodies and we get glorified spirits before him. And yet, at the same rate, even in death. You know, I don't know, we're here from 25 different countries. But I know in America, when somebody dies, you know, they dress them up in his best suit, you know, put the lipstick and the eye. And then, they look pretty good. I'm thinking, look pretty good, they're dead. What do you mean look pretty good? They're dead. But we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to deal with our mortality because we want to think somehow that this flesh is going to live forever. And we got to be looking to die to the flesh, meaningly dying to pride, dying to lust, dying to greed, you know, all these things. These are things we got to die to let the Spirit live. John 3 and 5 and 6. John 3 and 5 and 6. It says, and Yeshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, that if a man is not born from water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. The thing which is born from flesh is flesh, and the thing which is born from spirit is spirit. So even though we have a human body that Yahweh tabernacles in, and like I said, we want to preserve it, at the end of the day, the thing that is born of flesh is flesh, the thing that is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's why we should not be living to our fleshly bodies, and certainly we should not allow our body to control our life. You can't allow addiction in any form in your body. And a lot of people don't even know that they're addicted. And I say, if you have 10 jackets and you go and buy one just because you have the money, you're coveting. you're coveting. The Bible tells it, if you have two jackets and your brother has none, give him one. Never mind 10. You know, but it's the society we live in today. Commercial Babylon. Whatever you want, whatever you look for to take. And that's not the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh, like I said, the kibbutz model. Give everything you have, only take what you need. To look at the things of your brother more than the things of yourself. And you want to know something? That in itself is self-consuming and addictive. Because when you start thinking of only yourself, it really becomes addictive. Because all of your thoughts, all of your patterns, you know, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. But when you're doing the opposite, when you're dying to that, and you're thinking of your brothers and sisters, and you're thinking of other people, that's what you become. And that's why I always look at, I'm not going there now, but Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you fed me. You know, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you... And they're like, when, Master? When do we do this? It was so much a part of their life that they didn't even know they were doing it. And then the other ones, though, it wasn't a part of their life. And they're saying, when did we see you, right? Because it was, as long as we can get together, and this Sunday, we're all going to go out and we're going to help poor people for an hour. And then we'll look around at poor people. It's not a game. It's something that has to be inbred in us. You go out, there's somebody in need, you help them. It's got to be part of your mentality. And that's why I say the kingdom of Yahweh, it's a reality, but it's also a mentality. We have to think it, we have to breathe it, we have to eat it. You got to love Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And especially as this world is collapsing in, it should be every breath of our life should be to that kingdom. Because that's the only reality in this world. You know, we're living, it's such an oddity. You know, I don't know if anybody ever heard of a movie years ago called The Truman Show, where this man doesn't realize it, but his life is a TV show. And that's what this is. It's like a virtual reality show of the world. That's what it's come to. And it's all fake. It's all phony. It's all nonsense. And the only real thing is the kingdom of Yahweh. And that should be our focus. Number two, lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Sheol and destruction are never satisfied, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Sheol and destruction are never satisfied, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And that's another thing with our human nature, that mankind is never satisfied. And it amazes me to see this, you know, that in society, you'll see people can get degrees, they want another degree. People become a millionaire, they want to become more of a millionaire. People will be a business owner, they want to own another store, and then 5 stores, and then 10 stores. To the lust of the eyes, there's never an end to it. There's never a point where people say, you know what, thank you, Yahweh, I'm satisfied. Not that we shouldn't be looking to better ourselves, but it's not in a good way that people are always looking to lust for more. And whatever they get, they're never satisfied with it. And that's why, even if you look at people that have won things like lottery, right? You buy a ticket for $1 and you win $1 million. Now I think it's hundreds of millions of dollars. They said on average, the majority of the people that have won these lotteries, 10 years later, have less money than before they won. How could that be? Because the lust of the eyes never stops. Proverbs 30 and verse 12. It says, a generation that is pure in its own eyes, and yet not washed from its own filth. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are its eyes, and its eyelids are lifted up. A generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose jaw teeth like knives, to devour the poor from the earth, and the needy from among men. And here we are, we're living in that generation. And that's the way people are, like I say, one stroke of a keyboard. And you could send gossip, maligning, false information about somebody or something all over the world, and people never think about it. They never think about when they're pressing that keyboard. They never think about the evil that they're doing. They never think about the gossip that's going out. It's all normal. It's all part of society, and here it is. It's prophesied. It was prophesied for this kind of society that comes. And Satan knows that man is never satisfied. Satan knows it, and that's why he'll play on your very weakness. Whatever your weakness is, he knows what it is. And he's playing on that weakness. I look at the New World Order, you know, the global elite, and I say to myself, they already control the world, right? They control politics, they control the banks, they control everything. So why do they have to get to the point that they want to enslave mankind? Because the lust of the eyes. the lust of the eyes. Even though they control the earth, that's not good enough. They want to control every human being to every last thing that you do. And it's sad, but that's human nature. That you would think if people did have the control of something, that would be enough for them. But it never is. It never is because of the lust of the eyes. People always want more. So it doesn't matter, like I said, and they know this. I always used to think to myself with cars. I used to think, how do car companies stay in business? Because I'd have a car maybe 10, 15 years, you know, and I'm thinking, how on earth can a car company stay in business? Because who needs a new car every year? But as long as they're coming out with a new model, with something new with the car, and they're able to give it to you without money that you could pay later, the lust of the eyes. And they know it. They know it. That's why advertisers, they know how to play on you. You go into supermarkets. You think it's a coincidence the candy aisles is eye level of the children as you're coming to the payout? That's all planned. Because they know how to manipulate people. That's the way it is. They know it. Lust for power, lust for money, lust for greed will turn brother on brother, friend on friend. And you see it every day in the news. You see it everywhere, you know, that even today you look that the situation that's going on in the United States, you know, where they're trying to get President Trump on collusion with Russia and all this other stuff. And they know it. They know that if they take somebody and they arrest him, even if it's false, and they threaten to put him in prison for a certain time, you're going to turn. That's what they call it. They're going to turn on him. You know, and it's sad to see it, that they play on people that were friends. Trump's lawyer, right? He was his friend for 20 years. He said, I'll take a bullet for him. And then the next thing you know, they're arresting the guy for nothing, bringing him up on all these false charges. And what do? He turns on Trump. It's like, how evil. How evil. It's evil enough to turn on your friend. But, you know, if you're facing 30 years in prison, that's human nature. You know, it's collateral damage. But how evil for people to purposely do that. To purposely get people to be against another person. To try to get people, get brother against brother. Parent against child. And yet it's every day in society. In the workplace, that's the same way it is. Anything you could do to step over that other person and get ahead, you'll do it. That's what it's about. As long as you can get to that top, and you're never happy at the top. I say the most miserable, corrupted, sad people on earth are the people in Hollywood. And they're the richest. They're the richest people out there, and they're the most unhappy, you know, with multiple marriages, children that kill themselves, all these things that happen, and they're never happy because they're always striving for more. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Acts 20 in verse 25. Because it's not something that's just in the world. It's something that's also in the congregations, all congregations in the world, including Yahweh's congregation. That if we don't watch ourselves, pride and the lust of the eyes will also get people to go against each other. Acts 20 and verse 25. And this is where the Apostle Paul is gathering the elders together right before he's leaving. He's there for 3 years. He's given them exhortation to remember the things he taught. And then, actually, to me, it's shocking what he says from here, 2,000 years ago. And verse 25, he says, "And now I know that you will see my face no more." Remember, these are elders he's talking to. "All of you among whom I have traveled and preached the kingdom of Yahweh. Because of this, I testify to you that this day that I am pure from the blood of all. I did not keep back from declaring to you all the counsel of Elohim. Then take heed to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit placed you as overseers, to shepherd the congregation of Yahweh, which he purchased through his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And out of yourself, out of these elders, will rise up men speaking perverted things in order to draw away the disciples after themselves. Because of this watch, remembering, I did not cease admonishing each of you with tears, night and day for 3 years." Wow. These are people that were elders. These were people that qualified. And what did they do? The lust of the flesh. When they got to a position, they weren't humbled by it. They didn't look and say, "Wow, I am humbled that Yahweh would give me this responsibility over his children." They looked at it as a dictator. They looked at it as a way to get more power. They started cutting down the other leadership. And that's what he says. Out of our own midst, this will happen. And I know it. It's happened in our congregation. It's happened in our congregation. And it's shocking. But it's human nature. It's human nature. And that's what I say. I've seen it to the point in Church of God. Somebody would be the nicest, friendliest person you could ever meet. They name in an usher. They put this little tick on that says usher, and he's becoming like an SS soldier. Sit there. Do this. You know, it's like, come on. You're there to serve. You're there to help. What is this all about? It's human nature. Human nature, you know, that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you look at human beings, they will grab power, but they will never give up an ounce of it. That's human nature. Even within the congregation, that's why we have to watch ourselves. We have to continuously be looking from within and saying, you know, am I doing what Yahweh wants me to do? Am I serving the right way? Am I humble the right way? Am I doing this the right way? Because it can come like that. Come very easy. Because it's part of our nature. And that's why you don't die to it once. You die to it daily. I met a man one time that believed you only have to repent once in your life at baptism. And that's it. You never have to repent again. And I'm thinking, wow. This is pretty bad. This is almost like the once saved, always saved. I mean, because we sin continuously. You have to repent every day, even for things you don't know you might be doing. But this is what we're up against. What would turn an ordained elder, a deacon, a servant, into a traitor? A traitor that can't submit to authority. Human nature. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. He says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience, the prince of the power of the airwaves, right? And wow, if this was written 2,000 years ago, think about today. Think about the devices that Satan has as the prince of the power of the airwaves to use. You know, 50, 100 years ago, it might have been radio and then television. But today, you know, literally, he can affect us 24 hours, 7 days a week if you allow him to. You know, if you're hooking this device to you, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're hooked up to internet and you're hooked up to social media and you're waking up in the middle of the night to see if someone liked you or didn't like you. Believe me, that becomes your reality. And the sad part is with the children, because with the children, they're going into depression and suicide and things that we've never even seen before, because that's the only world they know. Can you imagine? That's the world they know. They think that's normal. And yet it's so sad that they have to grow up in this world. Electricity is not evil, but the things it brings into your house sometimes are evil. TV, internet, video games. I can't believe someone showed me, because I'm not into video games. I don't know nothing about it. And somebody showed me this video that the majority of these video games with killing blood for little children. And you think that's not going to affect them? I heard one time, and it was an article I read from maybe even 30 or 40 years ago, that they said by the time the average child in America gets to the age of 18, he will have seen 30,000 murders just from TV and movies. 30,000. And that was about 30, 40 years ago this article was written. Who knows what it is today? But it does affect. Every pleasure-seeking device, people lust after all these things. And like I said, you have 10 jackets and you buy another one simply because you have money in your pocket, it's coveting. You have two, you give away one. Top three internet searches are for pornography. More than 376 million searches per month. Do you ever hear that? You ever see an article on it? No. Top three searches. 376 million searches a month for pornography. And searches have more than doubled since 2012. Internet is not technology. Internet is entertainment. It's used for gossip, attacking people, and the liberal propaganda. That's what it's being used for. And that's why I say, just ask one question. Who developed the internet? The WWW, the 666. Was it Yahweh or was it Satan? They're the only two Elohims of this world, right? And it certainly wasn't Yahweh, I can guarantee you that. Not with the things that are on there. Lust of the eyes. Can't talk about this without at least mentioning cameras and selfies and thousands of pictures everywhere. And I say, I remember as a child, We didn't have a lot of money. My father worked very hard, and every summer he'd get 2 weeks off and we'd take vacation. We might travel 1 year to Pennsylvania, or we travel 1 year up to Boston, Massachusetts. 1 year he took the family down to Florida. And I remember we had like this little plastic camera, and he'd go out and buy a thing of film, and there'd be 12 pictures on it. You know, and you'd strategically have a picture, you know, maybe at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and there'd be one family picture, you know, in front of the White House or whatever we're looking at. That was great. We'd go home and we'd wait the 2 days until the pictures came back. And it's like, whoa, look at these pictures. And today, and again, there's some good things to it. You're seeing things. You're looking. This is great. But man, how many pictures do you have to be in personally? You know, how many pictures do you need with yourself? How many pictures do you need smiling? How many things do you need yourself on a keychain, a cup, you know, this over here and all over your house? And, you know, it's just like your picture planted everywhere. It's not normal. It's not normal. And when we look at the second commandment of not making a graven image, sure, in the context of the second commandment, it's about etching in a stone a graven image. But in the spirit of the second commandment, you really think that Yahweh doesn't think it's idolatry to have thousands of pictures of yourself everywhere? Come on. We have to start thinking about this. But it's reality to the world. It's not reality to Yahweh. It's not normal. It simply is not normal that people need thousands and thousands of pictures of themselves, and to keep taking a picture about every 3 seconds. You know, like almost like it's a robot. You know, click, 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 click. And I wonder, in my mind, because everything is management, right? Where do you store these pictures? Do you ever look at them afterwards? How would you even know what to look at? You know, if you have 50,000 pictures, how would you even, and what would they even mean at that point when you have that many of them? But it's something we have to look at. It's vanity. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Exodus 20, 1 through 6. And like I say, because it's normal, we don't see it as vanity. But it's not normal to Yahweh. It is not normal to Yahweh. And Elohim spoke all these words saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall not have any Elohim before my face. You shall not make a graven image for yourself or any likeness in the heavens above or in the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and you shall not serve them. For I am Yahweh your Elohim, a jealous El, visiting the iniquity on the fathers and sons, on the third and the fourth generation to those who hate me and doing kindness to thousands to those loving me and to those keeping my commandments. And like I said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things profit. All things are lawful, but I will not be controlled by any. And some people don't even realize they're addicted to it. They're addicted. They can't help themselves. You know, even if they want to try, they're going to be doing this. Number three. Third part, lust for food, lust for eyes, the lust for knowledge, right? Daniel talked about this in the end time. People will be running to and fro and knowledge will be increased. And knowledge could be a good thing, right? Knowledge is power. But in the world today, they're not using it that way. 1 Corinthians 8 in verse 1. But concerning the sacrifices to idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And we're living in a world now, especially in the internet world, where probably 75% of people's religion is on the internet. Most people even go to church on the internet, so they're not even interacting with each other. And with that, our calling has become a calling of knowledge. Everything is simply about knowledge. All of these things of knowledge and these little tidbits of the Torah and all these other things, it's all knowledge-based. And actually, when you really look, what is our calling based on? That movie we saw the other night with Richard Wurmbrand. That's what our calling is based on. Our calling is based on that we've been in a beaten underground congregation for 2,000 years. It's always been that way. And the fact that we're not in a country that's doing that, because right now, go to Pakistan, go to India, go to Saudi Arabia, 60% of the world is in the underground congregation. And the fact that we're not, it's not for us to have fun on the internet all day. It's that we have the freedom that we can go out and bring that good news. Because tomorrow we might be persecuted. You have no idea when it's going to change. And while we have the time, we should be doing the work of Yahweh. Not going out with every little gadget and fun. So like I said, nothing wrong with knowledge, but it's got to be the right knowledge. Got to be the right knowledge. Knowledge ups up, but love edifies. People will go to worldly school for 15 to 20 years in life, in colleges, grad schools. And these are the very schools that even deny that Yahweh exists. They deny Yahweh exists. You're not allowed to even talk about it. People work in these schools. And if they ever said to their students that Yahweh is Elohim, they'd be out that day. And I'd say, great, put me out that door. You think I'm going to work in a school year after year and they're going to tie my mouth like I'm in prison? In prison, Richard Wurmbrand was beaten for the name of Yahweh. And people work jobs and keep their mouth shut for a paycheck. For knowledge. For knowledge. You deny me, I'll deny you. How many are denying Yeshua every single day of their life because of the way you're living? And all because you think it's normal. It's not normal. It's not normal to Yahweh. And to put that much time in a worldly environment that denies Yahweh, and to keep your mouth shut, who are you serving? What are you doing it for? For money? What's the other reason? What else would you be doing it for? They promote abortion, premarital sex, and the only reason for the school system, at least the underground school system, is to indoctrinate your children. That's it. This started back in the early 1920s, the plan of getting all these teachers in the progressive movement, getting all these laws across the world to indoctrinate our children that Yahweh doesn't exist and all the other things that they teach us today. And you are responsible for your children. You don't have to send your children to public school. And if you do, you're going to lose them. I'll tell you right now. Laws of odds and probability, the ones that go to public school, very, very small chance that you're going to keep your children, because they're teaching literally a satanic progressive ideology, an agenda that is against the core character of Yahweh. In America today, they started with kids 5 and 6 years old. They have transgenders coming in. It's transgender reading hour. Can you imagine that to 5 and 6 year olds? How sick, how warped, how perverted. And parents are allowing it to happen. It's normal in Satan's world. It's not normal in Yahweh's world. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Therefore I say this and testify in the Master, that you no longer walk even as the rest of the nations walk, in the vanity of their mind. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Having been darkened by their intellect, being alienated from the life of Elohim, because they have no knowledge, which is because of the hardness of their heart. Who, having cast off all feeling, surrendered themselves up to lust, and to practice of all uncleanness with a desire for more and more, just like we're talking about. But this is not what you have been taught in Messiah. If indeed you heard him and were taught in him as the truth is in Yeshua, lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the mind of Messiah, and to put on the new man who is created by Elohim in righteousness and true holiness. It doesn't just happen, you know. It's not a magic pill. Baptism is not a magic pill. You're going to get baptized and you're just different. It's a life that you have to struggle, and you've got to deny yourself, and you've got to fight every single day of your life. But praise Yahweh, when you're baptized, you have a weapon to fight with. You have the Holy Spirit to fight with, but you got to use it. You have to use it, and you have to do it daily in your life. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Proverbs 12 and verse 1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is like a brute animal. So again, knowledge is good. Yahweh was the first one to educate the Israelites coming out of Egypt so they're not illiterate, so that they could teach the right knowledge to the rest of the world. But we want to make sure we're not putting the worldly knowledge before the spiritual knowledge. Proverbs 22 and verse 17 . He says, stretch your ear and hear the words of the wise, and set your heart to my knowledge. For they are pleasant when you keep them within you. They shall all be fixed together on your lips, so that your trust may be in Yahweh. I caused you to know today, even you, Have I not written to you yesterday and the day before with counsels and knowledge to cause you to know the certainty of the words of truth, to return the words of truth to those sent to you? So this is what it is. We have to cherish the true biblical knowledge that Yahweh's given us. And we have to bring it to others. We have to share that knowledge with the world. Ecclesiastes, let's go back to Ecclesiastes now. Ecclesiastes 1 in verse 2. Ecclesiastes 1 in verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanities. What is to profit to a man in all his labor in which he labors under the sun? A generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth stands forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down, even panting to its place. It arises there again. The wind goes toward the south and turning around to the north. The wind is going around and around, and the wind returns on its circuits. All the rivers are going to the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers are going, there they are returning to go again. All words are wearisome. A man is not able to say it. The eye is not satisfied to see, nor is the ear filled from hearing. That which has been, it is that which shall be. And that which has been done, it is that which will be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Even with the heresies, they're all the same things that roll up. There's nothing new under the sun. But Yahweh's ways go forever. Drop down to verse 14. I have seen all the works which are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be weighed out. I spoke with my heart, saying, lo, I have become great and have increased wisdom over all that has been over Jerusalem before me. Yea, my heart has been much wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I know that this is also, it is striving after wind, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases in knowledge increases in pain. Because when you really start getting knowledge, you really start realizing it's pretty bad out there. You realize the reality of it, of what these things come from. And like he says, what is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be weighed out. Yahweh also tells us in another scripture, when you make a vow to Yahweh, do it quickly. I don't take pleasure in fools. Each of us has made a commitment to Yahweh in our life. And he expects us to fulfill that commitment. He expects us to live that commitment, and if we do our part, he'll do his part. Not only now, because he says he doesn't want us to be burdened. Yeshua came to give life and give it more abundantly. So he's not asking us to be monks. He just wants us to put him first. He wants his work to be the most important thing in our life, burning within our hearts. And then you'll be the happiest person now, and you'll be the happiest person in his kingdom. But he's testing us. I always say this, life is a test. And if this is a big one, because if you don't pass this test, you will not walk in the kingdom of Yahweh. And every day that goes on, we're getting closer and closer. And right here we're seeing, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, right? Whatever is crooked can't be straightened, you know? It says in Revelation, those that are wicked, let them be wicked still. Those that are righteous, be righteous still. And we're hitting that point. There's still a work to do. There's still people out there coming to truth. But it's becoming less and less because the world is that polarized. And since it's that polarized through social media and internet, it's harder and harder to reach people. But the time will come where there won't be any more people to reach. And then Yahweh's work will be done on this earth. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, right? Lust for food. The lust of the eyes, lust to the eyes. Pride of life, lust for knowledge. The same thing that I read in the beginning in Genesis 3 is the same thing that he's saying here. Because all of it is part of the world of Satan. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Elohim abides forever. And here we are. Like I said, this is 2,000 years old. We're in that last time period now. We're in that home stretch. And we got to be convicted. You know, we have to take this serious and be convicted. And that's what Yahweh's looking for. He's looking for people. He says that the first fruits are going to be kings and priests in his kingdom. And he's looking for people that will take that leadership serious. And believe me, I always say success is when preparation meets opportunity. And in this world, you have to do it. You have to be prepared. If you're not prepared as a believer, how can Yahweh give you the opportunities to do it? So we have to make sure that this is what our calling is. This is what our vocation is. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Two more scriptures and we'll be finished. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. He says, "My son, pay attention to my words. Stretch your ear to hear what I say. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all his flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn away from the crooked mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the track of your feet, then all your ways will be established. Do not bend to the right hand or to the left. Turn your foot aside from evil." Wow. Like I said, I love Proverbs. I love them because it's the wisdom of life. It's the things that teach us how to get through this life and how to get to the next. And what wisdom here? Don't look to the right and don't look to the left. You look straight ahead. And in the time we're living in, like I said, this is all new to all of us. It's never been like this. It's not like this started 100 years ago. This only started 10 to 20 years ago with all the types of devices and internet and things we're dealing with in the days we're living in today. And I always say, if I told you 30 years ago, we were sitting here and I said, 10, 15 years from now, they're going to develop something called the internet. And it's going to be where you can check out any fact that anybody says immediately. So if I give a sermon, you could check it out to see if I'm telling you the truth or not. And you could check out anything. You could find information. You don't have to go to a library. You could find it immediately. And every single thing you need will be at your fingertips. And I said, do you think that'll make the congregation stronger or weaker? Back then, you'd probably, of course, it would make us stronger. How could we ever be deceived? And here we are 30 years later, right? And the internet has caused more deception in the congregation than anything else. When this thing started back in the 1990s, when we were still in America, and it was just the beginning of it, I said to our congregation then, I said, unless a congregation takes a vow to each other that they will completely stay off the internet, I said, you will not have any more strong congregations. This is the beginning of the falling away. You won't have it. And I've seen it, you know, in Church of God. When they split and the home churches started, you know, it may look strong. There's people, there's 12 of us in the living room. We all have one mind. Give it a month or give it 2 months, you know, and then it's going to come in, you know, the Yeshua and Satan are brothers or this and that. Every false thing in the world is going to come through there. And it's going to split it up. And it does it every time because, like I said, Satan knows how to work. He knows our human nature and he does the same thing over and over and over. And the only way to win over him is to abstain. That's the only way. Just like in what we should tell our children with premarital sex, right? They say in the world, no, the children are going to have sex anyway. So you can't tell them abstinence, you know? That doesn't work. You have to tell them this and safe sex and all the other things. And it's very interesting. I heard a story one time where, and it's a true story, that parents were called into a school and the school was going to start teaching this of handing out condoms and all this stuff, and they wanted the parents to participate. And this one father was really, really upset. And he said, I am not participating, and he stayed in the back of the room. So the teacher was trying to show how quick diseases go around and why they need to start handing out condoms. So what she did was she had each person shake hands with the next. And then she said, well, think about this. If you're the germ and you shook hands with him and he shook hands with you. And he said, do you see now? All of you are infected. Do you see why we need to hand out condoms? And all of a sudden, the hand went up in the back of the room of the one father. And he said, no, because one abstained. One abstained. And that's the way to make sure you don't have any diseases. That's the way to keep the seventh commandment. But it's not normal to this world. And they won't preach it in this world. But we got to preach it. Because if we don't bring the message, who will? Who's going to bring the message if it's not us? And like I said, I take so much joy after 20 some odd years of being the pastor here, people that I saw that were teenagers coming up, many of them coming to the school, that as they get married and they court properly and now they have children, and you don't know how good I feel inside about that. Because I hit a lot of resistance against our teachings on family and on the marriage covenant and all those things. And to see people do it the right way and have wonderful feelings, it gives me such a good feeling, because that's the way that Yahweh wants it to work. But we must surrender to Yahweh in everything. We have to allow His Spirit to kill our human nature, which is against us. Your human nature is not for you, it's against you. Last scripture, Romans 8 in verse 5. And you have to take this serious. Take this serious, what I'm going to read right now, because your eternal life may depend on this. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For the ones that are according to flesh, mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to spirit, mind the things of the spirit. So we could fool ourselves. We could fool our friends. We could fool our pastor. But you can't fool Yahweh. The ones who are according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. The ones according to the spirit, mind the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, it's hatred toward Elohim. It is not subject to the Torah of Elohim, and it is not possible to be so. So those being in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. And that's the reason why we have to sanctify our lives. Drop down to verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. And again, I told you I teach in archaeology here 20 years. And in archaeology, we have levels, right? You come down and you have levels, and you keep digging to get to lower levels. And our spiritual life is the same. When you come to faith, you're at the surface level, you know? That it's like doing a survey. And Yahweh doesn't throw everything on us at once. He gives us time. But I say, when you're looking at subjects like grace, love, faith, right? The fruits of the Spirit, the way you look at them the first year you're baptized, the way you're looking at that 10 years later should be completely different. It should be completely different, because you should be growing into such a deeper understanding of these things and what they mean. And if you're not, then there's a problem there. And I always give the example of myself. When I first became a believer, I loved sports, and I worked hard all week, and I used to watch football for about 9 hours every Sunday, and I justify it. I'd say, hey, I tithe, I help the poor, I do everything. You know, where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not watch football? It's not a sin. It's not a sin. And then I prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh very clearly in my mind said, don't ask what is sin, ask what is holy. And I said, wow. Got up, turned on that TV, saw these big guys pounding each other. And I said, that's not holy. That's not holy. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You know why? Because at the end of the game, whoever won, whoever lost, it's over. And then they start again the next game. There's no comfort to it. There's no good feeling to it. Even if your team wins, he's going to just start again and maybe lose the next time. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And Yahweh told me that with everything in my life, to look at every single thing I do. And don't just ask if it's sin, but ask if it's holy, and you'll come up with a whole different answer. Because we have to live to Him. He is Kadosh. He is holiness. And His whole character is a character of love. And we got to grow in that every day. And that's why I said, with new people, we got to be very, very cautious. And we have to take them lightly, the way Yahweh does with us when we were new. He doesn't throw everything on us at once. But all of those fruits of the Spirit, as you grow, they should have a deeper meaning in your life. Faith, love, patience, goodness, all of these things. We have to surrender to Yahweh's Spirit. We have to deny the flesh daily to overcome. Satan's world is filled with vanity. But we've been called out of the world into the wonderful kingdom of Yahweh. We must live for that kingdom daily. Sukkah is a yearly reminder to focus on the kingdom and not the vanity of this world. But at the same time, that we could have fun in this world. You could eat good food. You could enjoy the fruit of your labor and the wife of your youth. but it's got to be in the context of the kingdom of Yahweh. So Yahweh bless. Haksamea.